Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Thursday, April 13, 2023. Sudanese military are on high alert following the deployment of paramilitary rapid support forces in the capital. And Sudanese living in South Sudan are calling for peaceful settlement of the standoff between the Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary forces. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudanese in the capital Khartoum and other cities across the country woke up today to a dramatic escalation in tensions between Sudan's armed forces and the paramilitary rapid support forces. On a televised report, military spokesperson Brigadier Nabil Abdullahi said recent RSF deployment in Khartoum and other cities have stirred up panic and fear among the people. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio has the story from Washington.
Army spokesperson Nabil Abdullah told reporters in Khartoum last night the military did not approve the rapid support forces' recent deployments in Sudan.
According to the constitution and law, it is the responsibility of the Sudanese armed forces to maintain the security and safety of the country in cooperation with various state agencies, and the laws have organized this cooperation. Accordingly, we must push the alarm button because the country is passing a historic and dangerous curve and the risk increases with the rapid support forces by mobilizing forces and spreading up inside the capital, Khartoum, and some cities.
Abdullah said the army has tried to find an amicable solution to its dispute with the RSF, but warned the situation risks an outright war. The dispute between the RSF and national forces was exacerbated by talks to create a transitional government to eventually hold elections and put a civilian administration in place.
The armed forces kept on in finding peaceful solutions to these violations, to keep it peaceful in general, and an unwillingness of an armed conflict that can destroy everything, because all of these foresee incursions, and redeployment is not one of the systems or duties of the rapid support forces and its work. It is in an obvious violation of the law, and it's against the security committee's instructions.
Abdullah said the recent deployments could worsen an already volatile political and security situation in Sudan. The military's statement came as the RSF deployed troops in River Nile State on the border with Egypt. Local media reported the force is attempting to build a base in the town of Merowe. The RSF responded by saying its presence in Merowe is in line with its operations and duties in all Sudan's states to maintain security and tranquility. The RSF's statement urged the public and the media not to pay mind to disinformation it said is meant to fuel the fire of sedition and undermine the country's peace and security. The statement concluded by threatening to sue entities it said propagate false news at the expense of the country's peace and security. The RSF is seen as allied with Sudan's former president Omar al-Bashir, who was ousted by massive protests in 2019. Many people in the Darfur region know it as a deadly force formerly known as the Janjaweed, accused of committing atrocities during Bashir's 3 decades in power, especially in the Darfur region. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
For more on the political and military tensions in Sudan, Nabil Biagio spoke with Suleiman Baldo, director at the think tank Sudan Transparency and Policy Tracker. Baldo says the current tension between Sudan's army and the paramilitary support forces was precipitated by recent talks on security sector reforms that would see the RSF integrated into the army, as well as control of a strategic town of Merowe near the border with Egypt.
The escalation was, in fact, building up over the last few weeks, if not few months. It was triggered by the political process in which both the Sudan Armed Forces, the National Army, and the Rapid Support Forces, which is a de facto parallel Sudanese army, were engaged in discussions with the pro-democracy opposition groups. and reach a framework agreement for handing power as a military establishment of the two and other security agencies hand back power to civilians and to allow the transformation of Sudan and the restoration of democratic transition in the country. As part of that process, the question of security sector reform was the key to agree upon between affairs within the military establishment itself and between the Sudanese civilian political opposition and the military establishment. And in that context, Sudan armed forces insisted on two issues. The timeline for the integration of the rapid support forces in the regular army, which is agreed upon in principle, should be shorter rather than longer. Second, when that integration occurs, the rapid support forces should come under the direct command of the general commander of the army. And this is what led to duels of basically hostile statements from the top commanders of Sudan Armed Forces and the rapid support forces, which is now translating into mobilization of their troops, whether in Khartoum or in northern Sudan in the town of Merowe. This is adding tremendously to the tensions, and people are indeed very worried about what could come next.
Yes, and what is the importance of Merowe, and how has it come to be the flashpoint, like the hotspot to escalate this tension?
Merowe has the second largest airport in Sudan, which is not very active as a civilian airport because the area is scarcely populated, but is very active as a secondary air base for Sudan Air Forces. Merowe is also where the Egyptian army, the Egyptian Air Force, has deployed several units of its combat aircraft under the pretext of joint trainings with the Sudan Air Force. But there are credible reports that the actual air control over Merowe Airport is in the hands of the Egyptian army. And I believe one part of the deployment of rapid support forces to Merowe, you know, this was MIT or the commander of the rapid support forces way to say that as an independent autonomous force under its own law adopted under Omar al-Bashir, the rapid support forces had the mandate of deploying to different parts of the country. Second, I think politically it was meant to increase the RSF bargaining power in the growing dispute with the army over the overall command of the integrated forces. Third, I believe discreetly the rapid support forces commanders wanted to draw attention of the public opinion in Sudan and internationally to the fact that the Egyptian army is in control of Merowe Airport. And that is something that didn't come much to attention of the international coverage so far.
And I understand there is a mediation effort that was started today. It involves the Saudis and also some Sudanese actors. How do you see this situation playing out?
Mediation efforts actually began much earlier as this problem became clear within the discussion of the security sector reform process and timeline. We had multiple local initiatives of mediation by the political actors, but also by regional and international actors in Khartoum in the form of the quartet and the tripartite mechanism, United Nations, African Union, and the IGAD, the Regional Development Organization. IGAD and the quartet, or the Quad, as the combination of U.S., United Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and United Arab Emirates, has come to be known. All these mediation channels have been active to reduce the tensions. But since these tensions bubbled to the surface and became physical, risking a direct clash between the two armies, I believe the mediations are now very active from all those international and local mediators.
That was Suleiman Baldo, director of the Sudan Transparency and Policy Tracker. He spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio. Some South Sudanese living in South Sudan's capital, Juba, are expressing concern over the political developments in Sudan, adding that the leaders in Sudan should show a patriotic spirit and make compromises in order to prevent any bloodshed in the country. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
Mustafa Jaffer, a Sudanese national living in Juba, says he is unhappy with the current situation in his country, which he says could result into conflict. Jaffer urges his leaders back home to dialogue and resolve their differences.
I don't feel good. I need my people, my country to get peace. I need the people to stay in peace in 120. I need the leaders to make peace. I need the people to be happy in Sudan. You will not benefit. You just kill the people and you come back. And you do nothing for that. Just kill the people. And God will make something not good for you.
Salim Ito, another Sudanese residing in Juba, says the military leaders in the country should show patriotic spirit and make compromises in order to prevent any bloodshed in the country.
People, there is no one will go ahead, I think, if there's fighting. And if there's fighting, everything will be so disorganized and everything will be not okay. And you see it, especially in Darfur. Especially in Darfur. People are being killed, people are being displaced. So this is not good at all. This is what I want to say. Yeah.
The Rapid Support Forces, or the RSF, is a powerful paramilitary force which emerged from militias involved in the conflict in Darfur, which broke out 20 years ago and has been accused of widespread human rights abuses. It joined with the military to overthrow long-ruling strongman Omar Hassan al-Bashir in a coup in 2019. The two forces then carried out another coup in October 2021. Sudanese National Abdel Hassan says the leader of the Rapid Support Forces, General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, should not choose war but commit to bringing peace and political transformation in Sudan. Hassan says leaders in Sudan should manage the rising tensions in the country in order to prevent conflict. Dagalo is the deputy leader of Sudan's ruling military council. He has recently pulled away from the military and found common ground with a civilian political alliance. Relations between the military and the RSF have worsened, forcing a delay to the signing of an internationally backed agreement with political parties for a 2-year civilian-led transition to election. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a 17-year-old girl whose eyes were damaged by her father requires specialized treatment. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there such a thing as unconditional love?
The reason why I say it's there, because I've seen my parents and I've seen there is unconditional love in their relationship. Basing on the way like my dad treats my mom, the love is unconditional.
No, I don't think that. It is very difficult to predict human beings. So human beings are just unpredictable. Anybody can change at any time. So that's why I believe there is no unconditional love.
I'm one of the people who believe in real love, and therefore I believe in unconditional love. It exists. It's there. It's been exercised among people. And we have the ability to give unconditional love. So it's there.
Honestly, I've not been there before, so I don't know much about it, but a lot of things that I've seen people are struggling to love each other.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The director of the Egyptian Medical Center in Juba says results of preliminary examination shows one of the eyes of Akut Agankur is ruptured. The 17-year-old girl was flown to Juba from Wednesday for further treatment after her father damaged her eyes as a punishment for refusing to enter into an arranged marriage. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Dr. Ahmed Morthy with the Juba-based Egyptian clinic says he examined Kur after she was brought to the center on Wednesday. Dr. Morthy, who is an ophthalmologist, says based on the results of the primary examination, Kur's both eyes need specialized treatment.
We examined Kur and examined both eyes. The right eye is ruptured, the eyeball is injured, and the retina is detachment. But the left eye, there is retina detachment also, and the eyeball irregular.
Morthy says Kur's both eyes required a computerized examination to determine the extent of damages on her eyes.
I can see by primary examination is there any ruptured globe or not. So there will be a further examination, CT scan, ultrasound, that will confirm the examination. I hope she will be good soon.
Dr. Mahmoud Ahmad, director of the Egyptian Medical Center in Juba, says Kur has a serious eye condition that requires immediate attention.
Severe injury now, and now we need to do a primary closure. Primary closure means that we're getting back the content of the eye inside the eye and close it to avoid infection. And after the investigation and the result, we will check if there is anything we can do.
Last week, Agank Kut Achwil allegedly damaged his daughter's eyes in Tonj East County of Warab State after she refused to enter into an arranged marriage. Achwil, who is currently under detention in Tonj East County, shared a video on social media to justify his action. Police spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin asked South Sudanese on Wednesday to report cases of gender-based violence, adding that appropriate action will be taken against Achwil, who is also a police officer. Article 237 of the South Sudan Penal Code states that whoever voluntarily causes serious hurt upon conviction shall be sentenced to imprisonment for a term not exceeding 7 years and may also be liable to a fine. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still in Juba, some residents and traders have accused the city council officials of doing very little to clear garbage from markets and residential areas across the city. The mayor of Juba City Council, Michael Lado Ali Jabo, says the council lacks trucks for garbage collection. For VOA News, Rose Keji reports from Juba.
Susan Najore, a trader who sells bread at Konyokonyo Market, says Juba City Council officials should provide containers for dumping garbage across market in the capital.
The government officials like mayor should control the garbage collection because now mostly in the market, the children who stay on the streets are the ones collecting it anyhow. And they always take it to this side near the river and the smell is so bad to people in the area. They do clean the market. It is so dirty, very dirty. But what can we say? What can we do?
Elia Lakopetia is a resident of Gudele Sub. He says piles of rubbish dumped in his area cause a smell and could lead to the spread of diseases during rainy season.
If they continue until the rain also started seriously, it can also cause cholera. You know that one. Second is about this typhoid also erupted because of bad smell. Commissioner also should even immerse as soon as possible to collect all those garbage because they will also have an effect to the society. That's why I also recommend them not to leave the garbage dust.
The mayor of Juba City Council, Michael Lado Alajabu, says some traders and residents are not informed about the work of city council officials.
So that we are able to understand more, and new people will also help in order to make awareness to people, not only instigating problems. So, to understand things, you see, like 2 or 3 days back, I'm seeing people are taking pictures of Kuburi Hagoba, and they post that the city council is not doing their job, without knowing that Kuburi Hagoba is not within my jurisdiction. Our border is just here in former Doha petrol station.
Alajabu says the city council is working to ensure garbage is collected in and around Juba town.
We had contracted a company called East Africa Go Grains, and they fought among themselves within their company. So the company properties are all seized by court. They are seized. So they are not working. Even containers for the garbage that had been distributed all over the roads.
Ben Okeng is the managing director of East African Go Green. He admits his company is facing several challenges over the past few months. He says he hopes the company's internal challenges will be resolved so that they can resume operation.
At the moment, the fact that we are not in operation makes it difficult for the services to be delivered 100%. One, because we are not in action. And then two, of course, also the capacity that was exhibited, of course, the other parties may not have that. So the biggest challenge is now, of course, we're waiting to the legal system to take its course, to speed up. Of course, the process is a little bit slow, and that is the biggest challenge process in terms of rectifying the internal issues that had the company.
The governor of Central Equatoria State, Emmanuel Adil Anthony, recently ordered the mayor to keep Juba clean. For VOA News, I am Roskeji Benjamin in Juba.
Still in Juba, the Juba City Council is planning to impose town rate taxes on residents of the town. The mayor of Juba City says proceeds collected from the taxes will be used for providing services in residential areas. But some residents of Juba Town say the city council is not providing services to city dwellers. For VOA News, Viola Elias has this report from Juba.
Individuals who own businesses across Juba Town pay monthly rate taxes to Juba City Council. But the mayor of Juba Town, Michael Alajabu, says the residents of the city will begin to pay the town rate taxes. Alajabu says nobody is exempted from paying the town rate taxes.
Town rates will be collected from house to house, and it is a rent of the land that people stay in. Soon we will provide you with a demand note and start collecting money.
The mayor did not disclose the amount each resident of Juba is expected to pay. He says money collected from the town rate taxes will go towards service delivery, among others.
It is little money, and if we collect this money, then we will open roads, and that is the importance of town rates. And if the collection is less, then Juba City Council will add on it. This is why we want to inform you early, because if we start, you will be aware of the benefits of the collection.
Dennis Edward, a resident of Munuki, slammed the council's decision to impose the town rate taxes on residents. Edward says the council collects taxes from traders and landlords. He says he doubts the town rate tax will be used for service delivery.
What magic are they going to use that the residential areas, after paying, they are going to get their services? These are certain people that some of them are traders in the market. They're in the residential areas. They will pay in the market. They will go to the residential areas again and pay to the same city council. And the services will not come. The council is not new to the citizens of this city.
Edward says he believes many people in Juba are not going to comply with mayor's new directives.
Maybe other people will take it, but majority of the residents of Juba will not take it from city council this time. Because any policy that will come from them, it's not going to be acceptable. I am a resident of Munuki residential area. I am not giving money to city council unless there's any tangible, practical work that the city council is currently doing. Then I will be convinced.
Patrick Nyersuk is a resident of Juba Town. He says he welcomes the new tax. He says council officials should have discussed the matter with representatives of residential areas in Juba before imposing the tax. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Marata Bed by Emi Yore.
Managing a family is a secret thing, you know. Baby, tell me about in other superstyle. Of course, talking about Marata Bed. Marata Bed, no.
Been listening to Emi Yore and the song Marata Bet. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer Patrick Dare, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Alongside the man.
Mega Pro. Marata Beto. Marata Sambala.